Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Kosam Chalaf and Aleph. The Gemara is dealing here with a very basic problem. It started to deal with it at the end of Kosamach, and now it's going to spend today's daf on this issue, is how do we protect in the shtar from people adding information afterwards? How do we ensure that whatever was documented in the shtar and that the edim signed on, that's all that's going to be in the shtar when we get it back? Now, the individual who's holding on to the shtar is the creditor. Right, and the debtor doesn't have the shtar. So there are possibilities of information that can be in there. If it's to the detriment of the creditor, we're not worried about it. Because the detriment of the creditor, Tosus mentions this later in today's daf, that if it's to the detriment of the creditor, even if it's added in later, we don't worry about it. Because the fact that he's holding it indicates that it's not an issue. What we are worried about is that the creditor does something to his benefit. Or in a contract of sale, the individual purchased it, and has the contract in hand, does something to their benefit. So again, if it's to their detriment, we don't worry, but to their benefit, we worry about that. So how do we protect against information being added after the fact? Now that's all the more acute when you get to a get mekushar versus a get pashut. A get pashut, where you sign on the inside, you have some indication of where the get ends, where the contract ends. When you get mekushar, where you're signing on the back, it's very unclear how that determines what's inside of the actual contract or what's considered part of the contract. So yesterday we started with that question with regards to the position of Rav Huna. It says that you sign Ben Kesher the Kesher, right? Then how does he indicate, or how do you ever indicate where the shtar ends? So the Gemara said yesterday that you write Sharir V'Kayam, that there's a specific lashon that we expect to find at the end of the contract, that we know that that's the end. Nothing beyond that, anything written on beyond that, is considered to be null and void, number one. And number two is if we find an erasure in a location where it could have been written Shayar V'Kayam, we also assume that it's null and void, because we assume that he erased the word Shayar V'Kayam, added in what he wanted, and then wrote them again. So therefore, those two things will nullify the contract. Then we had the other issue, is what about additions to the contract? Again, say left out a word on a line, they left out some information, like today where you do a caret and you put the information right on that line, above the line. So that happens in a contract, what do you do? It's not like today where they have a printer, you just reprint it in the printer. There they were writing it by hand, and then, you know, to write the document over, it was not so simple. So that was where we left off with Rabbi Yochanan's position, which tuluya umikuya mit kashera. That if there is words that are added in, or phrases that are added in, you have to have a kuyemet. You have to have it actually at the end of the shtar, they have to repeat that information and write. There'll be a list of changes to the shtar, then that's kshera, because then we know that whatever is added above is now being verified below and signed by the witnesses, so we're fine with that. Aval machak, if there's anything erased, it's pasul, v'ava pish mikuyam. Even though whatever is in the erasure is repeated down below, we don't believe it. Why? Because he could have just simply erased it and then added it in, and that's what he did, exactly what he did. He erased the shayir v'kayam, wrote whatever he wanted, repeated it, and now everything's good. In a place where it could have been written Shir V'Kayam. I mean, at the beginning of the document, there's no reason to believe that the erasure was because of that he was getting rid of Shir V'Kayam and extended it. But in that case, if there is an erasure at the beginning of the document, he has to have it Mekuyam at the end. Also, if the erasure is smaller than the word Shir V'Kayam, then again, it's clear that he didn't erase that. But they will have to be noted at the end of the shtar. So again, this is all to protect against the ability of an individual to go ahead after the fact and change the information or change the contract. So now, Ud Rabbi Yiri Babel, Damar Ochrei Ha'Ktav, Ucheneged Ha'Ktav, Mibachutz. Now, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, that you sign on the back, when I get Mekushar, you sign on the back, you sign wherever the writing is, and then you have no idea then, maybe, where the shtar ends. So what are you going to suggest? You're going to suggest that, what does he do? He matches it up with the writing on the inside. They turn the shtar over, they see where the shtar ends, and the edim sign over there, so they're in line with the end of the shtar. So whatever the edim are signed, they're either right below that, or at the last two lines of the shtar, whatever their minhag was. But that'll determine whatever the end of the shtar is. So when you turn it over, if there's writing that goes below that point, you know that that was added after the fact. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe that won't work. Why? Maybe you'll go on the front side of the contract, add in whatever he wants, and he'll just add on additional edim on the outside. And he'll say, I wanted to add in more edim. So what he'll do is, there's two possibilities here. The Rabbeinu Chananel It gives one pshat, the Rishbam brings a second pshat. The one possibility of the edim, the Rabbeinu Chananel, is even if the writing extends below where the edim are signed, he'll just say, I left extra space. I told the edim to sign three lines up and two lines up because I was thinking I was going to get a third aid over here. He has to get three. He needs three for a fourth aid. I was going to get a fourth aid to sign on here. So I left an extra line at the bottom for the fourth aid, and that's why the writing on the other side goes past the edim. That's where the Rabbeinu Chananel learns it. The Rishbam says no, the other way around, that he actually will get an aid to sign it. What he'll do is he'll have three edim signed, and then he'll get a fourth aid after the fact to come along and sign below them, and he'll also add the additional writing on the other side. So now it looks like the edim, where they're finished signing and where the contract ends, are at the same level, but he did that all afterwards. He added in extra edim, and he added in extra wording to the document. So if that's the case, what type of protection do you have? According to Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba, right? According to Rav Huna, we don't have a problem anymore because he writes Sharir v'Kayam. That's it, he has the end. But Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba, who does not require the writing of Sharir v'Kayam, we thought that him signing on the back of the tab would be sufficient. But now we see that there's a way to get around that, and then the people will be Ma'arim, and they'll add in extra lines to the document and add Edim afterwards. So, Amalei, Misavart, Edim Kesidram Chatimei. What do you think, that the Edim sign on the back of the document like this, in the same way that it's written on the front of the document, meaning that if the document's written portrait, they sign along the portrait on the back. If the document's written landscape, they sign landscape on the back to match up at the end of the document. That's not the case. Why? What do they do? Edim Kesidram Chatimei, Edim Mimata Lamalo Chatimei. The Edim sign from bottom to top. I mean, they sign against the grain of the document, the writing of the document. If the document is written portrait on the front side, on the back side they sign landscape. So if you have the document here and the writing is, you know, on this side flat, they sign like this, up the document, and the beginning of where they sign will be where the end. So it doesn't matter then. If you add Edim afterwards, they'll have to be over here. They're going to sign. We know where the document ends. Doesn't matter if you add Edim. We have a good feeling for where the document ends. So now you solve the problem. By signing across the vertical, the document's written on the portrait, and then you turn it on the back and you sign landscape, then we know from wherever the beginning of their signatures are, or the end of the signatures, either one, it's fine, as long as they line up, then we know exactly where the end of the document is. And if you add stuff later, you can't add an aid, because the aid is on the opposite direction of the contract. So adding an aid doesn't change the amount of information that's on the front, or where the front ends.
Although you can leave a situation, the document finishes here.
Right.
So that's where the
start signing. Uh-huh. They signed below the document, yeah. You're saying, right. Here, over here, it says they signed at a point to where it ended. Right? I don't know, that's what I thought before. If you start signing, they start the signatures of the edim where the document ends, then you can never drop it below. Yeah. The Gemara does not suggest that answer. Gemara says that they know that they went along the opposite direction of the document. So Gemara says, well, let's say this. Velichush, Dilma mitramio riuta b'shtita achrona, v'gayisle l'shtita achrona. So he says, listen, you know what they'll do? There'll be something bad written on the last line, something to his detriment of the creditor or the purchaser on the last line. You know what he'll do? He'll cut it off. He'll cut the last line of the contract off. Ah, what about the edim? We said that the edim are signed on the other side. He's going to end up cutting off some of the edim. Not a problem either. Why? So he'll go, you have to be guys lay the shita achron, but guys lay the Ruvain behadei. And he'll chop off Ruvain, umitkashir ben Yaakov eid. Meaning that it says Ruvain ben Yaakov eid on the back. So now, there are different ways, and we're going to see this in a second, Ditanan. There are different ways you can sign your name. You can sign your name Ben Ishploni Eid, meaning that you could say Ben Yaakov Eid, or you could sign Ruvain Eid, or you can say Ruvain Ben Yaakov. So there's different ways to sign over here. So now, what ends up happening over here is if you go ahead and sign Ruvain Ben Yaakov Eid on the back, and then all of a sudden he says, look, that last line doesn't sound so good for me. Cuts off the last line and cuts off Ruvain with it. So now I have Ben Yaakov Eid, which is a kosher signature. So I'm able to cut it off, despite the fact that we started writing against the, even though the document's portrait on the back, we're signing landscape, it doesn't matter because the first word, it's Ruvain, so I can cut that off, and then you have Ben Yaakov Eid, but I have a kosher signature over here. So the guys the sheet one of the guys the Ruvain, but David Kasher Ben Yaakov Eid, it's none. Ben Ishploni Eid, Kasher. Dichtiv Ruvain Ben Bechadara. Now on one line he writes Ruvain Ben, V'Yaakov Eid, and then the Bechadara, and then V'Yaakov Eid Ilavoy. So then he writes afterwards V'Yaakov Eid. So he does it on two lines, meaning that he doesn't sign his name Ruvain Ben Yaakov Eid in one straight line. He signs Ruvain, and then the next line he writes Ben Yaakov Eid.
Exactly.
Right.
And he also cut off the part of the Ben Yaakov.
Right, well, that's good, because then if he cuts it off, we know that he cut the last part of the document off. And the whole problem is that we want it to... Right, that's the way we want it now, because if he has it, be Reuven, and then Ben Yaakov is the next line. I mean, that, before we thought he wrote Reuven, Ben Yaakov, Aiden, one long signature. He does that, and he's signing landscape on the back from the bottom of the document. Then when he cuts off the last line, he cuts off Reuven, he's fine. But now if you write Reuven, and then under it you write Ben Yaakov... Right, he just cuts out, he'll end up cutting off the Ben, then you won't have a kosher document anymore. So now, Reuven b'chadora v'Yaakov eid ilavoy. He's above it or below it. B'lichush d'ilma, guy is like the Reuven, Ben. So let's say, you know what, he'll cut off Reuven, and he'll also cut off the Ben. So why now, what are you left with? You're left with Yaakov eid. Oh, so where he goes, b'Yaakov, mit kasher b'Yaakov eid. That now we have a Mishnah, ish ploni eid kasher. That if somebody writes, Yaakov aid, Reuven aid, that's good enough. So you can either write your name.
How can you identify?
Oh, so it has to be Yotzei Miktav Yado. That you have to know his Ktav. You have to know that it's his handwriting. Right? So that's one of the requirements we're going to see in a second. The Mishnah there is qualified that if he signs his name with the word aid, he has to have his handwriting has to be recognized. So you can either sign it, Reuven ben Yaakov aid, can sign it a number of ways. You can either write Reuven aid, you can sign it Ben Yaakov aid, or you can sign it Reuven ben Yaakov. Those are the three different ways. Tosafot discusses rather in a case where he writes Reuven ben Yaakov, can he write the word eight? It sounds from the Mishnayot that it's dafka when you write Reuven, you write eight, and when you write Reuven ben Yaakov, when you write Ben Yaakov, you write eight. But if you were simply to write Reuven ben Yaakov, you wouldn't add in the word eight afterwards. That's what it's. Tosafot discusses that issue. Whether that's is there on the next? It's on the next Talmud, but he just mentioned Mashma Hayim Katov Reuven ben Yaakov eight he pasul. So that's what it sounds like. He says that Mikom Makom came to time because the kasher behedja meshavina and chiluk the pashut kasher b'mekusha dada dezir pasul. So he says that there's a difference maybe between a pashut and a kasher. And a pashut, it would be kasher when he writes Reuven ben Yaakov eid, but in a mekushar where there's a higher chance or probability of ziyuf, there we write only, you can only write Reuven ben Yaakov, you can't write the word eid, because we're afraid of all this cutting and all the things that you could do to make it pasul. But Tosus anyway says from this that in a get mekushar there'll be three possibilities, which is it'll be Reuven eid, Ben Yaakov eid, or Reuven ben Yaakov without the word eid. In a get pashut, and even it could be Reuven ben Yaakov eid as well. Right now, the Gemara says, okay, so then if he does that, he'll cut off the word Reuven and the word Ben, and he'll be left with Yaakov eid, it'll be fine. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. That's it. He won't write eight. So if he doesn't write the word eight anymore, you don't have the problem. It's Reuven ben Yaakov. The word eight isn't there. And now when he cuts, he's just left with Yaakov. Yaakov by itself is not enough. So again, that's what Tosfos is focused on. Then again, in Kushar, we don't let you write the word eight because of this whole problem of the problem. It's even if he wrote eight. He knows that it's his handwriting. And that's not a problem. I mean, as long as we know it's his handwriting, then we're fine with it. The Lav Yaakov, right? That we know that his writing. This is as the Rashbam points out. We don't know anybody who has the name Yaakov with this type of handwriting. So the Gemara says, well, Dilma Bishmei Davuach Atam. So maybe he signed with his father's name. Meaning that we know that the Ktav Yado is Reuven ben Yaakov's Ktav Yado now, and it says Yaakov. So we say there's no Yaakov that has this handwriting, so it's pasul, even if you write the word eight. So Gemara says, no, maybe it is Reuven ben Yaakov, and he signed with his father's name. So Gemara says, lo shavik nishmei didei b'chatim nishmei de'avua. Who would ever not sign Reuven ben Yaakov, why is he going to sign Yaakov and not sign Reuven? Doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, no, well, zilma simono ba'amo hu d'shavio. Right, maybe he's just putting a simon there. I mean, that we saw this before, we've seen this in the Gemara, in Gittin, that the Amoraim, instead of signing their name, used to have some sort of emblem or right, signature picture that they used to put there that people knew was their signature. So he said, that's what Gemara says, Dilma Siman Ba'almahu Dushavyo. Then he made it into Siman. Reuven ben Yaakov's Siman is Yaakov. Why? Because we have this. Da Rav Tzayir Kavaro. Rav used to draw fish. Rav Chinyan Tzayir Chevuta used to write a palm branch or palm leaves. Chista Samach from the Chista. Rav Oshia Ayin. Ayin from his name. Rabbi Baravuna Makuta used to do the Torin, the mast of the ship. So he used to, all of them had simanim that were muvhak for these individuals. That was their signature. So again, we know that the Gemara there said it was Yotze B'Diski that already had come out. That it was well known that you can't sign like this unless it's well known that that is your signature. And the Rishbam here says something interesting. He says, "V'amafareish tam amay tziyar kavara v'chiruta." Those that try to give a reason why they signed fish or palm branches, enu elo toeh. making a mistake. Whatever reasons you're trying to give are all made up. The Shema, Ashema Asehim, that this is maybe because of their... Right. So the Shema, Ashema Asehim, maybe because of what they did. Zen Anahag Le'chol Dagim. Rav used to eat lots of fish. Rav Zenag Farim, and he, Rav Chanina, used to eat lots of dates. It's a siman. Don't read so much into the siman. The siman isn't some deep meaning about the Amora. It's just that there was something that was associated with them. So Gemara says, why can't he do that? He'll just say, Yaakov is a siman, and I sign with my father's name is a siman. So that the Gemara is not willing to do. L'chotziv inish l'shav yilishmei davu asimana. If you're going to make a siman, don't pick your father's name. I mean, of all things to pick as a siman, you won't pick your father's name as a siman. So our solution to the problem is that either you don't write the word aid. If you don't write the word aid, then you don't run into a problem, because then even if you slice it up, even if you write Reuben ben Yaakov aid, because that was the problem before. If you wrote Reuben ben Yaakov aid and cut off Reuben, then he had ben Yaakov aid left. But if you don't write the word aid and he's Reuben ben Yaakov, if he goes ben Yaakov, then the word aid is missing and you won't have a problem. So either you don't write the word aid, or you have to write it on two lines. If they're Reuben ben Yaakov, and even if they write aid, writing it on two lines, you prevent it, because when he cuts it off, right, then we'll be left. Right, then you're missing the word. Either you're going to have Ben is missing, because you either need Reuven, which is going to be cut off, and you're going to cut off the word Ben under the word Reuven, right? And then you'll have Yaakov. So now, the other possibility, Tosfos here deals with some interesting possibilities, is that the word Reuven also, if he was able to cut off the word Reuven, this is what he could do. He could take the word Reuven and cut off the Reu, and leave the Ben behind, and create Ben Yaakov. So in order to prevent that, right, so what does he do? He writes Reuven, but now we were suggesting now that he writes Reuven, Ben, on the next line, Yaakov, 8. So now what he'll do is he'll slice it off. He'll slice off the Re'u and the Ben on the bottom line. So now he'll be left with Ben, Yaakov, 8. So he could do it. There's a way to do it. So how do you prevent that type of forgery from happening? So here, that's what Tosfos is over here. It's interesting. They're trying to figure this out. They had the same problem in their day about these. How do you make sure that a contract doesn't get added to or changed after the fact? So Tosfos says that the suggestion is that when you sign the Reuven ben Yaakov, some of the Yaakov has to be below the Reuven. I mean, that you have to have some of the Yaakov be underneath the Reuven, so it doesn't look like the possibility, meaning under the Reu part of the Reuven, so it doesn't look like the possibility, or the Ben has to take up the entire Reuven, and therefore if he slices off the Ben, he'll also slice off the entire Reuven. So you have to have one or two ways to solve the problem, is that either when you put Reuven and the next line you put Ben Yaakov, the word Ben takes the entire word Reuven up. They stretch the word Ben so it takes up the whole word of Reuven. That way, if he slices up Reu, you'll still see the end of the Ben below. Right? Or the other possibility is that you do Reuven, Ben, Yaakov, that you squeeze the Ben in, and Yaakov actually reaches under part of Reu. And if you do that, then you also have a problem, because then if he slices it, then he'll slice off into the Yaakov. So that's the solution. But you see Tosfos grappling with the same issue. And then Tosfos also discusses this idea of diyuta, or this diyuta. I don't know what it is exactly, but it sounds to me like they used to. And today they have some similar type of thing. You can write when you take a test, right? Or times they take a test. They used to have these test booklets that they take, and you hand them in. So when they write the booklets afterwards, they're blank pages, or if you did a problem, there's blank space underneath. When they used to mark the books, they used to draw a line, a red line underneath, so that after they give them back to you, you can't go and write information and come back and say, oh, you missed it, you didn't mark it right. So they have after they write a line there to stop it. So the Tosfos Sevir describes, in a number of cases, he describes this idea that they used to do this, they used to scrape, it looks like they scratched the cloth underneath. They used to do something that made it indicate that you couldn't write, or made it so that it was clear that you couldn't write under that. Some sort of siman or marking on it, that was the end of the document. If you wrote on it, it would be impossible, because whatever you did to the cloth at that point would make it difficult to write on, or obvious that you were adding onto the document afterwards. So another thing that they used to do in order to protect the expansion of the documents after the fact. Now the Gemara says, Mar Zutra, Amar lach kulehai. Mar Zutra comes along and says, you guys are doing somersaults to solve the problem. I'll tell you how you solve the problem. This is it. Right? Kol mekushar she'ein adav kalim v'shita achat pasul. That's it. All the edim have to end on the same line. They have to end on the same space. I'll solve all this problem. You're worried about the guy writing Reuven ben Yaakov like this, Reuven, and then ben Yaakov underneath. He's going to slice it off. I'll tell you the solution to the problem. All the edim have to start and end on the same space. Well, that way, if they end, start and end at the same space, if you go and cut it off, you're never going to get it that you can cut off three of the Edim exactly where you need them to cut them off, and then you'll have Ben like Yosef. So even if... But Yosef and Reuven are different sizes. So if they start at the exact same spot, if you're going to cut off the Reuven, you're going to end up hitting into the Ben of the other ones. Right. Over here, it sounds like from Marzutra that you actually sign, and then the end of the Edim is at the end of where the writing is. I mean, that you sign the Lamala Lamata.
If someone has a long name, someone has a short name.
Right, so you have to stretch, you stretch out the name.
So, okay, so if you stretch it out, so then you could cut it. If you have like the name and the Malkiah, and you have the name Dan.
Right.
So the Dan you have to stretch out.
Or you stretch out
the length of the Malkiah, right? So then if you do cut it, then you will have.
But it sounds like from him, right? I hear what you're saying about stretching it out. That's all if you start, I mean, if you sign the document from where the Ketav ends upward, that would be the case. But if you sign from the top down to where the writing ends, then when he cuts it off, he's cutting off the word aid. So if he signs milmala lamato, and the end, all signatures have to end where the writing ends, then we don't have a problem anymore. Because if you sign and then they end where the Shita Achrona is, becomes the slice that he's slicing the end of their signatures. He's slicing off the word Eid. He's slicing off the word, you know, Ben Yaakov. Then he's going to ruin it because he's going to have Ruvain Ben. You can't. The problem is that if you start from there and sign up, then you can slice off the first half of the name. Right, we assume. So Marjuda said, first of all, you can sign down and you can end there. Also, he says that all the Eidim have to sign the exact same line. And to your problem, if they have names that are different long, you have to stretch them out. But you won't put Ben under the same Ben, won't line up all the way down. Assuming they don't line up, then you could have the same solution. So this is Marzutra's solution. The question with Marzutra's solution is then, do we have to work? Does this still include what the Gemara said above? In that once Marzutra comes along and says, his din, once he's done that, does that then negate everything we said until this point? Or he's making an additional point. Before we used to say, we said before that he has to write, Reuven Ben Yaakov Eid. He has to do it, you know, in a certain manner that prevents this type of forgery. Now, once we have his solution, do we need that anymore? Right. So if that's, once we have that solution, is that the end of the Gemara? So if you look.
But not everyone is, if he agrees, I assume not everyone agrees then that it has to be the same way.
Oh, he says that's a din in Mekushar, and that's everybody's. So now the rest, if you look in the Rashbam, it's about halfway down when you start from the top of the wide lines, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down, and the wide lines about. It says, "Di guys chad min ha'idim guys kulu." If he cuts one of the idim, he's going to cut the whole thing off. Right? Cut the beferish Rabbeinu Chananel. Vafagav de parik Rabbi Yirmiyah kalma de actuale. Even though Rabbi Yirmiyah now answered all the questions we're asking him. Umatnitan Rav Huna Daika. On the other hand, our Mishnah sounds a lot more like Rav Huna. Rav Yirmiyah Abba says that you sign on the back, Keneged Aktav, whereas Rav Huna said you sign Ben Kesher Lekesher. So here we had questions on Rav Yirmiyah's solution because Rav Yirmiyah was saying you cut a Ktav, you could forge it, then you could extend it. So now the Gemara came up all these ways to solve the problem. Nevertheless, he says that Rav Huna sounds like the way you pass like Rav Huna. Why? Because the Mishnah sounds like him. The Tani Rav China Ben Gamliel, Omer, Mikushar Shkadvo Eidav Mitocho, Mikushar whose Eidim are on the inside, Kasher. Sheachol Asot Pashut, because you can make it into a Pashut. Now, Valiba Rav Yirmiyah, Damar Mikushar Eidav Milamata Lamala, according to Rav Yirmiyah Abu, says you sign against the contract, meaning that you sign in the opposite direction of the contract, then there's no way, even if you sign on the inside of the document with the writing, you're signing not in the same portrait way as the document, you're signing the landscape. That's not a proper signature for a Pashut. So it says from Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it sounds exactly like Rav Huna. If that's your question, I feel Rav Huna, I feel Pashut. So then, according to Rav Huna, just like you can switch from a kushar to a pashut, you should have a switch from pashut to a mikushar. Because again, you write shayur v'kayam on the inside, so we know where the end is. You sign on the back the same direction, and then you fold it up, and it'll be fine. Halo kasha. That's non pashut edav shnayim. V'intaseu mikushar, mikushar b'shnei dim pasuhu. That's not a problem, because if you did it as a pashut, and you only had two edim sign on the back, even in the air, even if you fold it up afterwards, it's not going to help you. Why is it not going to help you? Because they need three edim. So without three edim, it's not going to help you. On the other hand, if you have a mekushar that has three edim, and you flipped it over right on the inside, it's fine. Why? Because on a shtar, you can have 1,000 edim sign on the shtar. It's not a problem. I mean, as opposed to a shtar which is sufficient with two, and a mekushar which needs three, so there you can't flip a two into the three. But on the other hand, if you have three, you can make it in the one that requires two as a minimum. You could have more edim, so therefore you could take a mekushar into a pashut. The last thing he discusses is about whether it's a shtar muktam or mukhar. That's a gemara coming up. We'll discuss that when we get to that gemara, which is that there's a difference between a pashut and a mekushar about one being before the other. And therefore, there'll be a problem of shtar muktam or mukhar. So now, based on that, he suggests that the gemara, even though the gemara solved Rav Yirmiyah's problems, nevertheless, it's enough. It's still, the Mishnah sounds a lot more like Rav Sheshet. And now the, so if you look here in the Tosfos, kol mekushar she'in adam mechurav b'shita. So in Perush Ri, the Ri says, k'shechotmin olav milmata lemalo, if they sign from the bottom up, shekiyula matchilim b'shita achrona. They all have to start from the last line of the document. So that means that no matter if they start from the last line of the document, you don't have a problem. That's one. And then if you skip down, he says, v'im milmalo lemata chatime, if they sign from top down, tzrichulam kalim b'shita achrona, then they all have to end on the last line. It says, v'lo nehira. That's not... It doesn't sound right to the Tosfos. This is what I said to you before. This solution of Marzutra, is he just continuing or is it a total alternative? So the way the Ri's explaining is continuing what we said before, which is that the signature, when the document's written portrait on the one side, on the back side you sign it landscape. And the Ri is just explaining that the position of Marzutra is that you start the signatures from the last line or you have to end all the signatures on the last line. So that means the Marzutra is just taking whatever the information we had before and just extending it, just making it foolproof. Hello, Nihira. The Mahada the Terutze, like you were suggesting for David, when Marzutra comes on, it's a totally different solution. Because this solution says, don't sign on the landscape, right, against the direction of the document. No, because here he's trying to suggest, even if you were to write the aid. And so the Perish Riva, if you skip one more line down, the Olam Kesidran Chatime. So that they sign normally. That all the edim have to sign and end on the last line. You can't do anything on the outside. That all the edim have to sign on the exact same line across, and it has to be the last line of the document. So now he has a problem, right? Because what's going to happen? What's he going to do now? If he wants to extend the document, you have to write below their edim, and then you'll sign edim under them. That's not kosher anymore, because they're not in one row. All the edim have to be signed along one row exactly, and therefore, if they're signed on one row, exactly opposite where the document ended on the other side, now you can't do anything. What's he going to do? Cut them off? He'll cut the edim off. Right? If he cuts the last line of the document, he'll also cut the edim off. And number two is, if he adds more information on the other side, and he wants to add more edim, if he adds edim on another row, that's not kosher anymore. They all have to be on a single row. So the rivas. So the suggestion is that Marzutra is a totally and completely new solution. I think that's what you were indicating. That you don't have to sign landscape anymore. You sign the normal way. Like we saw before, you'd sign the same direction as the document, but here you sign in a single line across. The Ri wants to suggest, no, that Marzutra is continuing what we've said before, but just trying to make it foolproof. The idea that you change the direction of the edim to landscape versus portrait, when you do that, they all have to start or end at the exact same point in order to prevent this problem of him slicing them off. So that's the two possibilities how to read them. Now, we have an important principle that's going to be laid out here. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMechakim, Kulan Tzrichim Shiktov, V'den Ki Yomehon. Any erasures inside of the document, now again, these are mutar erasures, erasures that are above where we said Shari Rekayam, or smaller than Shari Rekayam. When you do that, you have to repeat them at the end of the document. And if you say V'den Ki Yomehon, this is the way to keep them. The word Dain is not necessary, it's a Shippur HaLashon. You just say, you have to keep my own. This is, you just have to write them over again at the end and write, include them in the document. V'tzarich, this is a very important thing. Tzarich she'akzor min yano shel shtar b'shita achrona. That you have to repeat the tokef of the document in the last line. You have to put basically unnecessary information in the last line of the document. My timer. So this is an interesting thing. This is, of course, according to one who says, this is when there is no Shavir V'Kayam at the end of the document. If you write Shavir V'Kayam, you don't need to know anything anymore. Shavir V'Kayam tells you this is the end of the document, and anything above it is valid, anything below it is not valid. But if you do not have Shavir V'Kayam, then what's the way to prevent people from adding information after the fact? How do you do this? You write at the end of the document useless information. If you write useless information, it means that you're repeating something that was already in the document, then we know that's the end of the document, because nothing new can be added after that point in time. My timer. Amrav Ravram. This is a problem. We don't learn anything from the Shita Achron, from the last line. Why don't we learn anything from the last line? So if you look at the Rashbam, when you sign, you know that today, you sign the end of a letter, you sign something, there's a space between your signature and the end of the document. So now, what is the person going to do? They're going to go in and take that blank space, and they're going to fill it in with information. So now you have a signature, it's like a regular contract, you sign at the bottom, the Edim don't sign right under the Ktav, and therefore there's no space. No, they leave a little space and they sign. So when they leave a little space and sign, what are we afraid of now? The creditor or someone's going to come along and write some information in there that's relevant or create some new conditions in the loan. So now what do? Meichim revach ben ashtar lechatimatam. V'chol adam zayif, lo sif ben time, shita achat. You can add a whole new line in there. Hilkach tikun rabanan nachzor min yano shoshtar v'shita achuna, devotu shikto ba'davar atzarich. Because now, what happens? If you, in the last line of the document, write something that's useless of information, or meaning basically information that's repeating that which is above, then we know, number one, that's the end of the document. Number two is, if you go, and afterwards, if there's a blank space between the end of the document and the edim, and you go fill it in with relevant information, we know it's wrong. That last line, we'll never learn anything from it. So even if you write, the last line of the document says, and these are the conditions of the loan that were never mentioned before, we're going to ignore it. We're going to ignore that. That cannot be the last line of the document. So what we do is, again, this is another measure to prevent people from cheating and knowing where the document ends. We saw the idea of Shirir V'Kayam. We saw the idea of Ayrimi Abba of signing at a point which makes it that's definitive. That's the end. Either according to the Riva, you sign on the exact, all of them sign in one row, exactly opposite where the Ktav ends. Or into the Ri, that you sign, right, landscape against the portrait, and you start or end over there. That was Marzutra's suggestion. Or the Argumar suggested that you have to write Ruvain, right, on, you have to write Ruvain on the top line, and then Ben Yaakov on the second line. So all of these solutions are coming to figure out where the document is. So this is the last thing that the Chachamim instituted, that at the end of a contract, that the last, you'll never learn from the last line of the contract. Any information placed in a line before the signature, we will not learn from it. So now, what do? If you were writing a contract and you really want, there's important information in the last line. So you want that to be included in the contract. What do? You add another line of a repeat from upstairs, above. You say, and this loan again is da 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 da. So that information is useless. That'll be classified as the last line and we won't learn from it. But everything above we will learn from it. So that we prevent people from filling information in blank spaces that are left. That's how we prevent them. Now, there are a number of questions that come up. One, the first one is Tosfos. What happens if a contract comes before us and there is a blank space? There's one space between the end of the contract and where the Edim signed. So what is Arfashash? Arfashash is that there'll be a blank space and he'll fill it in. But here we have the blank space and he didn't fill it in. So is the kusher, even though he didn't repeat the information in that last line. Do we say Ein lemidim yishita achrona, even when there's a gap there? Or we say no. So Tosa says, here, Meikar Adin, it sounds like that should be fine. What's there to be chosesh for? So he says, what? You're going to be chosesh that he left a space of two spaces, and he wrote in some information one, and he's still one space left? He says, that's too far-fetched. Say that the Edim left a gap of two spaces, and then they signed. Now, the Edim signed, they left one space, and they signed it. That's the normal way to sign things. So that's not a chashash. So Tosa says, Meikar Adin, that should be the case. But then he goes through a number of Gemara and Gittin that say, no, that sounds like if you don't, the Shita Achrona, Lagamrei, we never learn from it, even if it's done in a way that doesn't look like a Ziyuf. The Tosfos Nien says, "Miu mistaber de pasuk zera atu heicha de lo hirchuk shita achat, lo mistaber lefuki behen el ben hirchuku lo hirchuku beinir chazvat ashtar." So basically, Tosfos says it's a low plug. That the low plug is the Chachamim said, no matter whether they put a distance or didn't put a distance, we're not going to read the shita achrona. It's a low plug. Migar Din, you're right. If there is a space there still, it should be kasher because we know he didn't cheat because there is still the space there. But because the Chachamim are no plug, we say no matter what, we don't learn from the shita achrona. The more interesting Tosfos is the last Tosfos on Kusamach Dat Bet Amud Aleph. It's the last. It's a massive Tosfot, but it's unbelievable from a number of perspectives. First of all, it's worth reading because of the historical aspects that are in here, and also because he's really asking about what they do in their day. If you look down in the Tosfos about in that Lefi, that Tosfos, it's 2, 4, 5 lines down in the Tosfos below the Yud in the Hagotah Bach right below there. It says V'yesh L'Tmoa. Imkein Heyachur Galnu Lichtov. Says in our modern day contracts, this is the time of the Tosus, the modern day, our contracts, right, they repeat the last line of the contract, and then afterwards they write all the things that were erased in the contract, like what's demanded by the Gemara that you repeat them. But it's done after the repetition of the Shita Achrona. So basically you're putting it after where it would have been the otherwise the end of the contract. He says, you can't learn from this. And there's no more important information than the erasures. So you're putting important information in the last line of document. Because if we do that, people can cheat. They go and erase something and then add in that information afterwards. Right, it's not doing anything now, right? And there's no demand that it always write Sharir V'Kayam is a solution, but if you don't write Sharir V'Kayam, that doesn't mean that the document's not Kashir. He'll erase what he wants, and then he'll write Sharir V'Kayam afterwards. So, what are you going to do now? Why is our documentation? We're almost like ignoring everything we just learned. Our documents have kinyan amine, the repeat of the line. Then has all the machak, all the stuff. It repeats what was in the document that was erased, didn't it? So now this guy can come along, erase everything, and then write Sharir V'Kayam at the bottom, and then he can change anything he wants. Says V'yesh Lamar, Kamen Shirugulu L'Chtov Sharir V'Kayam E Pasul Im Lo Yachtiv Ke. That today, already in our day, if the word Sharir V'Kayam is not there, it's Pasul. Afilu Shein Bo Machat. Either there's nothing erased in there, then you can't come to Ziyuf, because then if we see erasure in that lower section where the Sharir V'Kayam should be, we'll know that he did it. That's why we do it afterwards. We still learn from the last line. We have this foolproof system that you write Sharir V'Kayam, we're not going to have a problem. Okay, then that's your question. What's the whole point of having kinyan aminei? The whole idea of the Shita Achrona is to repeat useless information, you don't learn from it. So for us, why do we repeat the information? It's useless, because we're using Sharir V'Kayam and not kinyan aminei. Lo aviyachaz v'at ashtar, elo fisha dain eidut kinyanu. So that's what he says. This is not a chazrat ashtar. When we say kinyan aminei, it's not really repeating it, but it's actually talking about the eidut kinyan. It's a separate piece of information. This is that we saw the kinyan take place. Not only do we know about this transaction, but we saw the kinyan take place. Right, so now, Ulufi, just skip down one line, it does. Ulufi, hai perush, lo tzarech chazrat ashar. You don't need, according to this, in modern day, we don't do chazrat ashar. Imkein hadak tgavinim begitin, bedeinu havilech minai sefer teruchim get p'turim. So why do you have to do that in a get? In a get, we do the repetition. Lo havia mishum chazrat ashar. You don't have to repeat. The lo tzarech mitav chazrat. Kevin tachtin ha-shariv v'kayam, that we write at the end of our contract, shariv v'kayam, u'begitin, kedat moshev Yisrael, ha-vim makom, right, shariv v'kayam. So then we have this. We don't need to be chazrat ashar. So that's it. He says, v'lekach nira, if you skip down one more line here, lekach nira, shalikar get, anu kotvim. We have to write it. The reason we write that is for the ikar get. There has to be some purpose to it. V'din, v'ein anu tzrichim chazara mishum tam, shepirashnu. Yochlim lo chtov v'dein v'shita achrona k'dat Moshe v'Yisrael avi makom shariv v'kayam. That's it. V'yesh tema. So he says, okay, that's a great solution. We can explain everything now. We write shariv v'kayam k'dat Moshe v'Yisrael, shariv v'kayam in a contract, k'dat Moshe v'Yisrael in a gitin, so therefore we don't have the need for chazrat shita achrona, because we have another solution. So we have this other solution. If that's the case, then we can write whatever we want after the kinyan amine, because kinyan amine is really not a repetition, it's an edut about the kinyan, so it's significant information. And we can write significant information to the bottom, because we have this shayir v'kayam, solves our problem. And the get also, you don't have to repeat anything. The fact that you have to say, v'den ye, get, piturim, eshtark, teruchin, that is not a repetition, there's some significance to it. And also in a get, you don't have to repeat at the end. That's his solution. So what's the tema? I was about to ask. He says, v'yesh tema. It's great. Lama shinu akadmonim lechtiv shariv v'kayam lomod b'shita achrona lekayem mechakim achar v'kinyan aminei kevin shechmei ha-gemar la yukotvim shariv v'kayam. It says, why did we switch everything? The Gemara did it by repetition of the line at the end and didn't put anything underneath. So we come along and change everything the Gemara has, and we do shariv v'kayam and don't do it. Why? Meaning that the Gemara had a solution already. So why did we all of a sudden come along and switch the solution and do it almost the exact opposite of the way the Gemara did it? So I don't understand that. So he says, he skipped down a line. Yesh lomar shchashu shepamim shitu adim she'en pekiim v'yachiku shnei shitim. This idea that they might skip two lines. That's what he said before, that we don't worry about. He says, maybe they'll have this. V'afilo yeh adam chatzuf lasot shtar chadash. Person would never be so chatzuf to make a new contract b'shnei shitim ki id'ad sh'yachishu adim shelo... Meaning that when he leaves some blank space, versus when he writes a total new shtar, nobody's willing to do. Why? Because he thinks the edim will come and say, we never saw such a thing in our lives. He's not going to lie. We're afraid to add in some stuff.
You can add more things,
then
he can still write.
Right. He can write in some more information and then repeat. So therefore, if he has extra room left, and then he can have repetition after that, and then it'd be totally fine. So that's the problem. So he says, that's why we switched it, because we were afraid that the Edim, not knowing what they were doing, would cause these problems. So he says, this was a more foolproof method. We went to a method that was more foolproof, which is the Shari V'Kayam, or Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. So now the next line is what's historically interesting. V'zeh Shal Ri the Rabbeinu Tam. Ri asked this question to Rabbeinu Tam, Al Kiyom Mechakim, Shanu Kotvim Meshit Achrona, V'Shiv Kimo Shepirashti. He says, like what I just explained above, Shanu Sochim Al Shari V'Kayam. V'Kashal Hai Perush, so now, because of that, we write Shirikam, we don't do Chazar Hashah. Even at the time of the Gemara, they used to write Kedad Moshe Yisrael, and nevertheless, they also repeated that Shita Achrona. So our whole suggestion here is that Shirikam Kayam or Kedad Moshe replaces it. But we know at the time of the Gemara, they did it, they repeated it. Alright, so if you look, if you skip down about 4 or 5 lines, it says, Ve'yesh Lomar, Shibitzkila Yukodvim Kedat Moshe Yisrael Be'emsa Get. It wasn't at the end of the Get, but in the middle. V'achak Tachnu Lechtova B'sofa Get, Makom Sharir V'Kayam. So that they changed. In our day, we moved the position of that Moshe Yisrael to the end to replace Sharir V'Kayam. Tachin Kodvim Chzad Ashtar. So this is a great line. Ulachar Pitziratosh Rabbeinu Tam. After Rabbeinu Tam passed away, Matzari Bahag Shayal Rabbeinu Tam. He found some writings, he found something of the Rabbeinu Tam, right? B'tikun get, she'asak hol davar shalamindim imenu, imachak o tala, tzarich letov, dala machak o deveni chite, kodem shitach rona, lifnei kinyan amine. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, who had before, when he went in his lifetime, and he spoke to Rabbeinu Tam, and asked him, why do we write everything after kinyan amine? He says, because he answered like the Hussar says, that we write Sharir v'kayam, or we write Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and everything's fine. So then after the Rabbeinu Tam passes away, the Ri goes and finds written by the Rabbeinu Tam that what? Where did the Rabbeinu Tam write? He wrote that you have to write all the changes before we can yanamine. So here the Rabbeinu Tam, when he answered the Ri, gave him the answer that the Tosa says. But then when he later on, he found after his death, he finds it written that that's not the case. So he says, Ach b'dorim sheshina leim shekatab pamim b'shalosh b'toch hashtar, az eni karaget talui bo, b'zer gulu lekeim achar shitachona. So this is where Rabbeinu Tam gave a different solution, is that when you repeat things 2 or 3 times in the get, that already we allow you to put after kinyan amine. Because then you don't need those lines to uphold them because they're already repeated a number of times. He says, im kein tzrile dein lemi dimi shitachona. He says, clear from here that Rabbeinu Tam believes that you can't learn from the Shita Achrona. B'kinyan Mineh, Haba Chazabat Tashtar. And the Kinyan Mineh is Chazabat Tashtar. B'Shir V'Kayam Nechlevim Achinamu. That we write Shavir Kayam is unnecessary. So based on this, the Rabbeinu Tam, even though he answered the Ri in one way, when he found what the Rabbeinu Tam had written, sounds like the opposite. That it doesn't work, and we can't write afterwards. So therefore, Tosus concludes, because of this, that you have to tzarek lizar b'kitin shloch tov v'dein avi leichim minai sefer t'ruchim b'shita achrona elo miteruchim ve'elech shehu kefel lashom. So you have to be very careful then at the end of the get not to write v'dein avi leichim minai sefer t'ruchim, because that's something significant, right? B'shita achrona, you have to write that in the second to last line, and on the last line you can write from that word on with that, which is repetition, ve'elech shehu kefel lashom b'char she'en lo midim b'shita achrona. Despite the fact, because he's being choshesh with this Rabbeinu Tam, despite the fact that we write Sharir V'Kayam with that Moshe Yisrael, nevertheless, you shouldn't write anything important in the last line in the Shita Achrona. All right. So that the solution is just interesting. What happened here? That the shoshelet of what happened was all the change. Now last, the Ri finally comes around with another answer. There's a couple more iterations here. The Ri comes down with an answer. It's very interesting. It's the third to last line. The Ri perish. Shemar b'avur atorech hurgulu lichtov sharei v'kayam depamim b'chazara b'gufa hayam machak. That you have to think, again, it's not on a printer, they're not printing this stuff out. Imagine you make mistakes in the contract, then he has to go and then repeat them later on, and then he'll make a mistake there, and he has to erase again, and then he has to write it again. That the idea of being chuzer and all the machak, anytime you erase something, is almost like an iterative process that becomes in the davar sof, that you don't want to do it. So instead of the whole burden of having to repeat everything, they just said, Sharir V'Kayam, and then they solve the problem. That's what I said earlier, that it's only when it's to his benefit that we say it's not. If it's his detriment, then we'll learn from Shita Achrona, because there's no reason to believe that he cheated or he changed the document at that point in time. Anyway, very, very interesting. Tell us about just historically what happened, also the interaction between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam, and our contracts, what we do. So we say, by Gitin, he was very choshesh to the fact that even though we write without Moshe Yisrael, that we shouldn't write anything significant in the last line, we should do a chazara on the last line, kefal lashon. That was one thing. By contracts, he was willing to be a little more mekil, it says the Ri. And he says, the reason we switched to the system of using sharir v'kayam instead of doing the chazara, or writing sharir v'kayam, which is not, would have been unnecessary, because once you repeat shita achrona, you won't have to do it, is because that we don't have to keep writing, right? There are mistakes, even in the machak, you don't have to do it. Once you write sharir v'kayam, we know that's the end of the document, and we're not going to worry about the fact that he's going to keep repeating or changing things after that point in time. All right, we'll stop over here.